Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the Levana Space hosted by Galactic Punks. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, and just as info, hello, this is Karma on Galactic Punks account here. So if anyone from Levana's side joins and would like to join as a speaker, please request to speak because I'm having problems adding people manually. Twitter Spaces is just a bit temperamental.
No problem. Okay, so if it's okay with you, I'm going to record this with some visuals so that when we post it on the Twitter, we'll have some of the visuals as well. I apologize. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm just pinging Mimi. Thanks everybody for their patience and flexibility.
Of course, this is always like this. We always need a couple of minutes for Twitter Spaces to work as intended. And Levana and Galactic DAO, I have added your accounts as co-hosts, so you can also help manage speakers and add people later in the AMA when we will be accepting questions.
Well, thank you so much.
I see that you have denied me of my co-host powers this time.
Ah, well, yeah.
You got to earn these.
Plenty to go around.
We hear you furiously typing. Now, I will just repeat in case someone joined us right now from Levana's side. Please request to speak. I don't see any requests yet.
I'm working on pulling in the right people. And so dealing with some technical hiccups. I think it's just, you know what? I don't think we've got somebody trying to connect on a desktop. But we will, I think it's only supported on mobile. So give me a second.
It is indeed. In order to be a speaker, so you can listen on desktop, but in order to be a speaker, you have to connect on your phone. And there is a microphone icon in the left bottom corner that you click on to request to speak.
Okay, let's see if we've got anybody else from the team here. We got a lot of people. We got one other listener. Look at this. It's I don't even know how much is here. Okay, I might. Hopefully, I didn't just hang up.
No, you're still here. It's all good.
Ah, great. Look at that multitasking.
Now, if you don't mind, I think, to be fair, we could kick off if you don't mind just answering the first questions yourself.
We will work on
adding speakers just as we go so they can join us later.
Okay, so give me one second just to start then the visual recording, and then we'll go from there. So I'm almost ready. Thanks everybody for your patience.
According we are just screen. Hiking up the suspense.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it is Thursday, February 17th, and we are on with the very gracious Galactic Punks DAO team. And we are going to be talking about today the faction war, the talismans, what we're working on here at Levana. And we have some very gracious hosts. And I think that you guys have a few questions. So why don't we just start with some questions and then we can jump in and kind of tell the whole story from the beginning, if time permitting. But happy to jump right in and to give the information that I know the Galactic Punk community, which is a community that we hold very near and dear to our hearts, is very excited to hear. You know, just to be clear, so I've had a Galactic Punk basically since the beginning. I wasn't able to get in to the initial minting, but very quickly I just fell in love with the project and collected them. And I know a lot of other people on the team have them, and we're incubated by Delphi, and Delphi is a big supporter, and even some of the core team that was behind the initial minting of Galactic Punks was are friends of ours within the Levana team. We've actually had an opportunity to meet in person, and so it's really just an honor to we've been excited to be able to work with the team and work with the project. And if anybody saw when I was in Portugal, I think it was, we were recording a live Terabytes podcast, and maybe I'll retweet out the conversation. But so somebody from the Delphi team asked, what are you most excited to see in Metaverse on Terra? And the thing that immediately came to mind is I want to be able to take my Galactic Punk, and I have I named my Galactic Punk Zahava, which is the main character of the Levana story, and I'm very excited to be able to take Zahava and have her ride on a Levana dragon. So the interoperability of different projects and being able to take aspects from multiple different NFT experiences and have them be interoperable and composable, I think that's the 0-1 that NFTs bring to the space. And that's where the area of innovation that we want to kind of be pushing the limits at how at what Levana does and brings to Terran NFTs. So it's really exciting to kind of kick this off with the faction war. And I'd love to, just jump right in and tell you more about it.
Yeah, we'd love to hear some more. Obviously, like, this all kicked off with you guys dropping the Galactic Punks talismans to us, which actually came quite unexpectedly. We saw that there was a community vote and people were talking about it. But obviously, we were very, very surprised at the airdrop that we received. And I think a lot of people here are probably still questioning what exactly the talisman does. So if you guys could just, start off by maybe giving some details on that, because I believe that links into your faction wars.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll start with this. About 3 months ago, Levana dropped a meteor shower. Now, to back up what Levana is an acronym. It's a DeFi protocol. It stands for Leverage Any Asset. We're building a perpetual swap platform and a leverage basket platform, which will launch soon after Mars launches, which is scheduled to go live in a couple weeks. So our launch, please God, will be in roughly 4 to 6 weeks. So in building up and building this community, there was a thesis that came out from our organization, which is that NFTs are the strongest way to create a dedicated community within the crypto space. It's far more effective than governance tokens have proven to be, because governance tokens have a tendency to just be farmed when APYs are very high and then just dumped. So we started looking at where the new entrance into the crypto ecosystem were, and it's clearly within the entertainment sector. And there's some really interesting articles that we put into a Medium post called DeFi-tainment, which is using entertainment to allow for DeFi to grow. And so this kicked off about 3 months ago with really about 5 months ago when we started writing Levana the Story. So Levana the Story is a story, it's really the story of crypto. And it's told as a science fiction novel, a science fiction and fantasy novel of a future society that lives on Mars. It struggles to be able to maintain self-sustainability. It's controlled by a very harsh government that, you know, forces people to live a certain way and have certain economic policies and controls what they do. So it's really an analogy for the world that we live in, but dressed up a little bit for a science fiction and fantasy audience to be more appealing than if you just simply kind of preach the story of crypto, as many people have tried to do over the last decade or so. So now we had this this story of where something just arrived on the planet from outer space, these meteors. And the meteors, again, which is an analogy for essentially the invention of Bitcoin and then the entire industry of crypto. They broke open, and then inside of them were these eggs. And now the eggs were initially just novelties. And then as dragons grew out of them, and as the dragons became bigger, it actually changed the whole planet. It changed the ideology and the belief system of the people, where now they saw that they could really lead themselves, and they didn't need to be controlled by this oppressive government. And so that then led to what actually would be known as the second civil war of Mars within our narrative. So now within the NFT game that we've built, we started with a meteor shower, and that lasted for 3 days. And that had about 6,500 participants that minted about 41,000 NFTs of these meteors. And the NFTs were essentially loot boxes that would either be cracked open to have inside of them they came in four different tiers. So common, rare, ancient, and legendary. And depending upon how much you donated, you would get the more rare one or the less rare one. And then you could crack them open to either reveal eggs or dust. And then the eggs, the dust is kind of like a magic potion. And the eggs could then be cracked open, or not cracked open, but could be hatched. And we're in the process of that in terms of the NFT narrative to create these baby dragons, which then there will be a metaverse quest which will educate a broader audience on how to interact with perpetuals, how to interact with things like Anchor and Mars and other DeFi protocols, all in the process of evolving kind of like a Tamagotchi or a dog's, if you're familiar with like the Nintendo or, those 90s toys, to evolve from a baby dragon up to an adult dragon. And as part of this, at each of the stages, we really liked having a surprise. So when our players took the egg and found the matching magic dust, because that was part of the game, is that they would have to go out and they would have to perform a dust quest. And when they found it in the markets like Nowhere and Random Earth, and then they found what was compatible for the dragon that they were trying to hatch. The narrative, as we put it, is that, in order to hatch a dragon, you would need to find a place for it. It needs to be a safe place where the temperature is the right temperature and it's protected from predators. And so you need to find a cave. So a cave is hidden on our website. And then they would need to start the process, the hatching process of the egg, which, in the real world, you use an incubator. So in the world of Levana, you would pour this magic dust on it. Now, when you go to lean down to pour the magic dust, there would be a slight glimmer that you would see out of the corner of your eye. And you as the player would reach over and you'd see something in the dirt there in the cave that you had prepared for your dragon. And as you picked it up off of the moonlight, you would see this tiny little talisman, which had one of the four major factions of the inhabitants of Mars. And then now that talisman actually became an invitation to participate in the evolution and revolution of Mars, the civil war that occurs within the story of Lavanna. And so there's four different factions. So there's the council, who are the current leaders of Mars, and they're the most well organized. They're the wealthiest. They own the most amount of dragons, and they currently control the landscape. And their goal, like everyone's goal on Mars, is to terraform the planet. But they have a very particular way that they envision it, and their focus is on that you create the most amount of strength by having a very small centralized group of power that is the decision makers. So the second faction is the Guardians. So the Guardians were the police force for the last 100 years on the planet of Mars, and now that the dragons have arrived, this police force has realized that maybe the people that we've been serving, who are the council members, maybe they don't really know what's best for the planet. And maybe what the planet needs is that it needs more of a unifying militaristic force to be able to best bring this, to bring the planet forward. And again, I don't want to get into the analogy, but, you know, if you read the news, you might find similar narratives in the things that you see as how the world is changing today. So now the third group is the Free Martians. Now the Free Martians are the most interesting ones. The Free Martians are the ones that predicted the coming of the dragon. You know, they have a narrative of how we came to this planet, you know, in the belly of dragons, and how dragons eventually would return back. And that's an allusion to Elon Musk and, you know, his rocket ships, which are called dragons as well. And they still believe that dragons will come back to the planet and will eventually finish off the civil war, which started 100 years ago, which would then allow for them to be able to live actually free, thus in their name, as kind of like independent libertarians. And they live about a week's travel away from where the rest of society lives, which is controlled by the council. And again, the first civil war on Mars ended in a stalemate. And that then, now it is multiple generations later, where you have this almost like a Bedouin culture, which lives closer to the equator of the planet. And lives a very different lifestyle than the lifestyle that's outlined by the council. And then the third or the fourth group are the Terrans. And the Terrans are the largest group, and they represent the population. They are the builders. They are the workers. They are the common man, the common woman. They're the ones that are the farmers. They produce the food that everybody else lives on top of, that without, everyone would essentially starve to death. So now each of these different demographics represents a major narrative within the crypto ecosystem. And so as we get ready, as Lavanna gets ready to bring its products to market, its suite of DeFi tools to market, and to bring a gamification layer, which will bring, our goal is to bring 100 million people to Terra, and to for them to understand the value of UST, and to understand the freedom that really comes from taking the red pill and jumping down the rabbit hole that is crypto. And the way that we feel that this best can be accomplished is through strong storytelling and through gamification, through the creation of a very strong play-to-earn the mechanics, play-to-earn a form of entertainment that then can target the next generation of crypto participants. So those are people that are not necessarily coming because they want out of the gates to get 20% APY on Anchor, because they don't really understand that. They're not finance people. But when you come and you teach them about gameplay, about video games, about adventure stories, about dragons, then that catches their attention. So coming back to the faction war and the talismans are directly linked to the launch of the Levana protocol, which will be governed via the governance token, which is the Levana governance token, whose ticker is LVN. Now, we didn't want to just airdrop the tokens to large audiences, because if you're familiar with any of the data, the actual metrics of airdrops, 90% of it is just a waste. You might just drop it to Luna Stakers, which is very popular on the Terra ecosystem. You might drop it to voters. You might drop it to people who own NFTs. But most people aren't even going to redeem it. And then secondly, is if they do redeem it, the majority of them just dump it. And Flipside, has some great information about that. So we thought, what if we created a distribution method that was far more engaging, that actually started out as a game? It was a game that would be free to play, and we would invite the community members that we most valued to come and participate. So we started through the distribution of the tokens to the NFT members of the Levana community. And we've had really great turnouts and just high levels of engagement. And then we asked our community, who else would you like to participate in this? Who do you want to be the recipients of the Levana airdrop and to be the community members? And the first answer that we got was, we want the Galactic Punks to join. And so after many heated debates and conversations, we contacted the Galactic Punks team. And they were very gracious to help us with the logistical aspects of distributing these free talisman. And we distributed to every wallet that had a Galactic Punks in it, got randomly one of the four factions. Now, you can do whatever you want with that talisman. You could ignore it. You could go and sell it. They sold. I think that they went for anywhere from half a Luna and up. And, obviously it depends on whatever the market is. We just gave them away, so we didn't expect. We had no idea what the community would value them at. But we had about over 5,000 Galactic Punks distributed to Galactic Punk wallets, owners of Galactic Punks, and then we saw from that that hundreds of, I think it was about 15% of the recipients chose to come to our website, factions.levana.finance, to stake their token, to which they could either use the team, be part of the team that they were randomly selected, or they could trade on Random Earth or Nowhere Art to find a faction that spoke to them more closely with the narrative. We have a comic book series, which is on our blog, if you want to learn more about the factions or more about the story of Levana. And then we will start next week a series of, we actually started a week ago, or about 2 weeks ago, with a game, a mini game, our first play-to-earn mini game, which is called Salim Side Scroller Adventure. So Salim is a free Martian. He's one of the main characters of the story. And he's asked by Ima, who's the leader of the free Martians, to go to the ancient dragon graveyard, because this isn't the first time the dragons came to the planet of Mars, and to receive something that would be critical for the free Martians to be able to win the faction wars. So players went out, and if you have a Levana NFT, it's free to play the game. You just need to be part of the community, and you show that you're part of the community by owning a Levana NFT in your wallet. And we've now given away probably over 20,000 NFTs for free to community members, to make sure that it's distributed and that plenty of people can play. To date, if you complete the first mini game of the Faction War, which is already live, which is Salim's Adventure, which you can find the link to that on our blog, or a link to it directly on our website, which is levana.finance. Or even if you jump in our Discord and you ask somebody for a link or how to play, there's also really great walkthroughs. But so if you want to get involved in the faction war and you want to learn more about Levana and you want to be eligible for the Levana airdrop, which is happening in a little over a month's time. So then you take your, you take the talisman that was airdropped to you. You stake it into the faction war website. You learn a little bit about the lore. You join our Discord and then verify that you have a talisman through our verification bot, which was provided by Gravity DAO, a great team. We know that Galactic Punk's Discord uses them as well. I think that you guys actually made the introduction, so we appreciate that. And then join the channel for your faction and then start preparing. We've got a series of mini games which will come to market, very similar to Salim's side scroller adventure. And we're taking the four different factions, and they'll actually be competing in terms of engagement as to which of the four factions performs these mini games the best. And everybody that participates in the faction war is going to be a winner. So there's going to be NFTs that are airdropped. There will be God willing tokens that will be airdropped. And I think everybody will have a lot of fun, playing it. Everybody likes classic video games. Everybody likes riddles, or at least I like riddles. So that's kind of what our vision is. You know, when we did our NFT drop, we said, you know what, we're going to do something different. And so now that we're getting ready to launch the protocol, we also decided that we're going to do something different. And we're hoping that it resonates with a large enough audience that people will show up, they will participate, they will live action role play, because I think that that's a big part of what makes it fun, is coming in and just having a good time and meeting people and trash talking the other teams tastefully. Obviously, nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings, for real. And then just kind of getting into it and living the story, and then hopefully getting cool swag throughout the process. So I know that we have Beach Dragon on here, who's one of our big brains. Like I've said in many of the other podcasts, I have the best job because I don't really have to do any of the hard work. I just get to talk about it, and come on and be recorded in the videos. So Beach, I don't know if you are available to speak, but we'd love to have you.
Thanks so much. That was a great intro, and it's really hard, obviously, to follow that. But if anyone has any questions about the faction wars, I wanted to emphasize one thing, which is that I really do feel like each faction, whether it's Council, Guardians, Free Martians, or the Terrans, can speak to that little voice inside us all, where we find ourselves in our crypto journey. And it's so much fun. We've had so much fun since the talismans dropped and we surprised the community with them. And I think people have really leaned into, the story and the faction that they belong to, or they found the right faction. They've sold their talisman and bought a different one on the secondary market. And it's really fun to see the community come to life like that. When we originally had the idea to do evolutionary NFTs, it was something that we invented, and people said to us, you can't evolve NFTs. And we said, but if it's just going to sit in your wallet, that's not very exciting. Like, let's do something really radical. And so to see this idea truly evolve over the last, 6 or 7 months is awesome. And to watch the community come with us is really fun. So we're glad that the Galactic Punk community was so gracious and allowed us to airdrop to everyone. And we're excited to, have you in the war with us and have you experience the journey with us. And it really has been an adventure.
Yeah, well, thank you for including us. Often, the airdrop came unexpectedly, and obviously a lot of our holders appreciate it. And to bring us into your world like this with our own GP-style talisman. But mainly, in fact, the way you guys are planning on distributing your token down the line and obviously getting people involved in the protocol is just such a innovative way of doing it in a fair way, and also making sure the people who get tokens are the ones who are contributing. And that's the sort of thing that we at Galactic Punks are looking to do as well. So we're actually building a staking protocol for Galactic Punks. So when we invest into upcoming launches, holders are able to state their galactic punks in a contract, almost like a cryogenic chamber. Well, that's the look that we're going for anyway. So imagine your galactic punk is traveling through light speed and you lock it up for a number of years. We're not doing a set lock as such, but imagine they are sleeping in a cryogenic chamber. And then tokens will get distributed to those who are participating. So it's a great way to obviously make sure that we're fairly distributing these tokens across a number of people. It not only helps Galactic Punks and their holders, but it also helps the protocols that are building the space to make sure that their tokens are fairly distributed.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's so brilliant. Cool. Yep. So,
I love it.
Oh, sorry, Beach, go for it.
No, it's fine. I was just saying, I love the idea of, you know, frozen in time. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I love kind of the just pushing the envelope, and the also, you know, the when I got involved in NFTs, it was shortly after it was a DevCon 4. When did the punks drop? I think it was DevCon 4. But so when the original you know punks came out, so I saw them and I minted a whole bunch of NFTs. I took pictures of the staff I was working at a cryptography company at the time, and so I took pictures of all the staff, and I used a like a pixelator, you know, like it's a website where you upload a photo and then it just like makes it look like retro, you know, video game style. And so I made a series of like custom punk NFTs for all of our staff, and then distributed those out. And it's just been, you know, the vision that we had at the time of where NFTs were going to go was that NFTs would be the kind of like the front end, the visible layer that exemplified interoperability, which means that multiple protocols can all talk to each other, and composability, meaning that assets that are minted on one platform can be used on another platform. You know, we always envisioned that, and I even like, you know, I was able, like, this is a story that Vitalik tells. You know, if you get him to reminisce about the early days of Ethereum, you know, one of the things that motivated him to build Ethereum, which was the first smart contract platform, was that that in World of Warcraft they changed the rules. I forget what he said. He had like a dark elf. I'm sure it's in a blog post somewhere. But he had one of these characters, and it was very powerful, and he had leveled it up. And then there was an upgrade to World of Warcraft, and the rules had changed. And so now his character, which was super powerful, was you know, kind of muted. It was diminished significantly. And that was crushing to him because he had spent so much time investing in creating this custom, you know, this character with its inventory and its powers. And it was just crushing to see all of that taken away. And so that was one of the sparks that came and motivated him to build a smart contract platform. And that's really what attracted me, and that story and other stories like it really attracted me to DeFi and to the ownership economy. So it's the idea that there could be an experience where you participate in a game, and games are just experiences at the end of the day that that nobody can take away from me. That when I own it, I own it. And if somebody else wants to come and create an additional and extension experience, then they would be able to do that. And that's what's so exciting. You know, that's what I loved about the grids that you guys created. That's what I love about you know, the warm relationship and like the we're all gonna make it attitude. You know, that I think makes specifically the Terra ecosystem such a powerful ecosystem to build in, and it's just exciting to kind of see here now. We are 4 years later, you know, and 4 years is a lifetime involved in crypto. And I've been working professionally in the space since 2016. And I've had basically about every role that you could imagine in crypto, from like an investor, a builder, a researcher, and everything like that. And so to kind of see these early concepts come to market in a real way is just so exciting. And I think that our project, like Lavana and Galactic Punks, and the ability that we have to work together really is a flagship and a lighthouse to what I see will be the future of cooperation and interoperability within the Terra NFT ecosystem.
Brilliant.
Hey guys, how are you?
Now, hello, Manus. Sorry, I just wanted to butt in for a second. Now, you have mentioned how NFTs are the best way to build a passionate audience, and Lavana seems to be doing that incredibly well with unparalleled storytelling that you have just so passionately displayed. I think you might have touched upon every single of the questions I have had, which is why, you know, we will have to just touch upon a few of them again. I was just wondering, since it ties very well to how we finished, what we finished with, I was just wondering, when I look at my talisman, I can't seem to notice there seem to be three different roles ascribed to most of them. Now, there is a premier role, and then mine says punk role. Would you mind just maybe explaining a little bit about the different roles and how they relate to talisman roles?
Sure. So the premieres were an Easter egg. Again, we like to, we think that one of the surprises is something that's great in adventure. If you've ever been play Dungeons and Dragons, or even just even more modern video games, you know, the element of surprise and knowing that you don't know all the rules, you don't know what's going to happen, is part of what makes it fun. So when we dropped the talismans, it was important that a very small percentage, I think it's less than 2%, had these premier roles. And we, in our minds, thought that, you know, the community is, we're going to encourage live action role play. And so we suspect that the natural leaders will gravitate to the premier roles, and that we can, as a team, offer the premiers more tools to help them better organize their teams. So if there's any premiers that are listening, it's very, you know, we highly recommend that you reach out to us, that you introduce that you're a premier. Obviously your privacy is very important to us, so you can do that in a anonymous fashion or a non-anonymous fashion, and we can provide you with resources like data scientists and graphic designers and other resources so that you can help organize your team. And we've seen this excellently within the council. You know, the council has just come together. I mean, they're a better, well-oiled machine, you know, than Lavana itself at this point. Like, they've just, you know, they've created their own summaries of the lore. They've created, that they have, their own private chat and website. And, you know, obviously we want, you know, we encourage people to be coming into the Discord and to playing kind of together, where we've kind of laid out the, let's call it like the game board, or the, you know, the magic circle where we hope that the game is experienced in. And because it's kind of a meta game. So it's, you know, right now we are playing the game. This conversation that we are having, this is part of the faction war. And this is really just onboarding of troops. I'm hoping that there's people that are listening to this that will be inspired and will join one of the factions. So we really tried to kind of view it as like, there is no fourth wall to the faction war. It's something that exists on spaces, on Discord. And it's the premier's responsibility to help win their, to help their faction win. So if their faction wins, then the premier's will get a bonus. They'll get a large bonus. Now, if you're playing from as a result of nesting an egg, which means that you've been playing, you're not like on level one of the Lavana game. You know, you've been here for 3 months. you participated in the meteor shower, you went and you got, you cracked your egg, you joined the various social channels, you went out and you hunted your dust and you poured your dust on in order to nest it, and then you generated then you're called a member. So you're like an existing member of the faction war and of the Levana ecosystem. Now, we also wanted to invite guests. And so we didn't want to make it just generic guest and like write a line item as guest, because we thought that wasn't personal enough. We wanted something that was warm and welcoming. And so we created the tier or the role of punk. And now there also will be, we got approval from the Discord. We did a number of votes. So there was an approval to airdrop to some of the other communities. So we're, I'm not going to name names quite yet, but we'll be talking about that kind of right before the faction war starts. So there will be other guests as well. And so the punk, punks are the first guests that we invited. And then there will be, we're hoping to get it out because it is somewhat laborious to airdrop to existing, to other contracts or, owners of assets of other contracts. It's not out of the box. So all of these other NFTs, these guest NFTs will have the name on them of the NFT that references the NFT contract of their invitation.
And they'll also be customized, right? So that way the other communities that we'll invite, every talisman that we make is designed specifically for that community so that it fits in the story essentially of that community, and that everybody can feel like, they're part of Levana, but at the same time they retain their own identities as well.
Okay, well, that all sounds very interesting. I had a question. My name's Manos, by the way. I'm one of the ambassadors in the Galactic DAO. I've been watching Levana for a long time, and I guess from just a surface level, have been particularly excited for the dragons one day. As someone that's now does have a token and entering into the space and the game, what is the time commitment required to get into it?
Well, some of it is going to depend on how good you are, if you grew up playing Nintendo games or not, or even other styles of mini games. Some people, just to look at some of the metrics for the first mini game that defines the faction war, which was a Salim side scroller adventure. Some people told us that they were able to beat it in about 15 minutes. Most people, it took about 45 minutes to an hour to beat that game. And then, in worst cases, I had someone who said to me, I've been playing for 8 hours now and I still haven't beaten it. So I don't know if they were exaggerating or not, but obviously there's, skill set to it. So we're looking at this leading up to the token launch, which is a little bit more than 4 weeks away. So over these 4 weeks, we're going to be revealing more mini games that will be played, which will be in the style of classic games. If you've been playing casual games on your iPhone, or classic games from Nintendo inspired or PlayStation inspired past. And then there will also be some things that aren't just button mashing. So there will be things like solving riddles. There will be, points given for voting, like community voting on memes and things like that. So I would say that you probably could commit. Let's say that you're a decent video game player and you'd be able to, beat in a mini game styled in one of the games you grew up playing. And that would take you 20 to 30 minutes. And let's say that there would be, I don't want to say exactly how many there are because I think that ruins some of the surprise, but I would say total commitment between now and then, we would probably be looking at about 2 hours of actual gameplay. which would then be broken up over multiple stages of experience, which then would, include a lot of just getting to know people on your team, live action role play, coordinating, asking questions, participating in a scavenger hunt and learning from the things that other people learned. But in terms of a time commitment, our goal isn't to make it overly bearing. And obviously you can stop at any time and, there's no need to, you don't have to, you're not forced to do anything. You can just kind of participate to the extent that you want. And it's not all or nothing. If somebody was to just do some of it and then come back later or try and catch up, we wanted to make it that it would be easy to catch up, if you checked out for a week or two in the middle. So it's we really don't know because it hasn't been played yet, but that's more or less what we would imagine that somebody would experience. And we hope that if they have a good time, that they would stay longer and participate longer.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. I think one of the things with, if you haven't been in the Levana community the entire time, I know you've had a lot of stages, so sometimes it can feel like there may have been a lot that's missed. So to simplify it down is nice and easy. I think Karma had a question.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to add to that before we go to the next question, which is that your talisman actually gets marked with the metadata of the things that you do during the faction wars. So if you can think of a talisman as like, some kind of like entry ticket, like a punch ticket, where, you decide on the things that you want to do or the things that you want to play. And if there's something that you don't want to do, then don't do that. But at the end of the faction war, if you've stayed staked the entire time, then your talisman becomes much more rare and valuable because it's recording all of your achievements and your quests. Whereas, an unused talisman isn't a war hero and hasn't gone through that experience yet. So you can sort of think of it that way. And, John said, we've definitely designed it so that you can consider what's happened until now as a separate entity almost, and that you can join the faction wars, read the lore, catch up a little bit on the backstory, but you don't have to feel like, oh, I missed the meteor shower, therefore, Levana's out for me or priced out or I'm experienced out and I can't ever get back. So, nobody's played the faction wars yet. Not Levana members and not Galactic Punk members. So this is totally new. We've designed it as a new and standalone experience.
Cheers. That's incredibly interesting. I can't wait for, recording metadata on an evolving NFT is something brand new. And I think everybody is incredibly exciting to see how this will work. Now, I just wanted to circle a little bit back to something we've discussed at FEST, which was the importance of what you have called DeFi-tainment and the gamification to pulling in new crowds. I often feel lately that within the Terra NFT space, we're sort of like all swimming within the same pool, just in circles. Now, since you've touched upon this topic, I wonder, first, how big the team at Levana must be for you guys to be able to produce such innovative stuff and these incredible games? And then two, how could we possibly market these games, or are there any plans to do so in order to pull in new crowd instead of just the audience that is already familiar with all of this?
So those are two.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say those are two really great questions. I want to touch upon the second question, and I'll let Jonathan speak to the first one. But, if we think of ourselves as almost like a DAO within the NFT space, right? If every project can come together, and rather than thinking about this small pool, right, which everybody's, oh, I sold my, my Levana egg so I could get a Galactic Punk so that I could trade that, instead of thinking of the people that are already here, right, around the table, if we look around and we say, hang on a second, the smallest NFT community probably is the Terra NFT community, but there's a huge community of NFT lovers and users and acquirers in ETH and in Sol and in other chains who are so used to paying, essentially the fees that we pay for our NFTs, they're used to paying those as gas fees. And so if we think about it, there's a huge community out there. And if we work together, right? We can attract those users. We've seen a huge influx, actually, within Livana of users from other chains recently who are starting to look at, you know, prices and value and utility and other things and saying to themselves, wait a second, you know, I've heard about Terra, or, you know, I've heard about opportunities on other chains. Let me go check that out. So I think that together as a community, we need to come together and think about better ways to onboard people. You know, we all have the same issues of how difficult it is to get into Terra sometimes and how difficult it is for people to onboard. So I think we need to look at that as a community and not just as individual products, because otherwise, you know, that vision that we have of 100 million users, even if we lower it down to 10 million users, is going to be so difficult for all of us. And I think it will affect all of us. I think you're great to, you know, you're absolutely right to call that out. And we don't want to be swimming in the same, you know, pond. We want to be swimming in an ocean together. And I'll let Jonathan speak to the other question about the size of the team.
So there's the team has about you know, full time is around 30, and then part time is around a similar number, and then we've got a growing amount of volunteers that just, you know, create content. Like a lot of the content, like you would you'd actually be shocked to see how much content just comes from community members that are just not even officially part of the project. They just send us stuff. And we post it, and then we always try and lean in and say yes. So when somebody contributes, we try and think, okay, how can we integrate this? How can we encourage this behavior? And so it's attracted a lot of builders, a lot of artists, a lot of creators, a lot of storytellers. And again, it's that we're trying to create something that that has a certain profile, a certain mindset that will come around the table, because right now we're kind of in, there's two phases. There's one is the phases is to building our core community. And so from this, you know, that's going to be Terra power users like lunatics. It's going to be people that have a long-term vision, and we're trying to do things to somewhat shy away from the traditional DeFi model, you know, which is that you have this narrow market of Web3 users. You know, they come to your dApp not because they care about using your dApp, but because they just want to get the high APYs of the farming rewards. You know, you hope that if you give them a bunch of tokens, either through airdrops or through being liquidity providers, that they'll participate in a DAO. But the DAO is overly complex. It's unclear how much your vote actually counts. And so after the initial interest wanes and the APYs drop, then these, you know, kind of like a you know, professional farmers, so to speak, which, you know, they're not professional. They're professional because they're very good at it. Not that they necessarily do this as their day job, but they end up just dumping into an AMM, which, if there's protocol and liquidity, you know, just kind of like, you know, makes the DAO members like the bag holders at the end, you know, when everything crashes. And then you end up with this, you know, kind of like very common altcoin pattern, which is you get this high spike and then just like, you know, 2 years of like trickle out, and like as the project kind of bleeds out. So we've taken that model and tried to evolve it to something that we call DeFi-tainment, which has really been inspired by DeFi Kingdom. I think they were the first ones that got this really well, where they took a fork of Uniswap and they moved it over to really a ghost chain, which was you know, Harmony One. Not to say that there's anything wrong with Harmony One, just it had never been used before. And then they built on top of their AMM, they built a very light narrative and an NFT experience that focused on a design pattern called pseudomorphism, which is where you take digital narratives and you map them to things that you do in the real life. So when you farm on Uniswap, you know, you're just kind of clicking buttons and like depositing assets. When you farm on the fork of Uniswap in DeFi Kingdom, then you're actually planting seeds. You know, your LP tokens are called seeds, and then you have to go and you have to harvest your crops. And if you want to build up reputation, so then the reputation is found within an NFT that becomes your avatar, and then, you know, you can perform almost mini games, but quests with your avatar that then unlock new aspects and features. So we were really inspired by this because it was something that we were trying to really kind of figure out, that How do you merge, you know, how do we know that, how do we take the attention span of a large audience, and we're talking millions of people, you know, our goal is hundreds of millions of people, and then bring them to a complex product like perpetual swaps or Prism or Apollo or White Whale or even Anchor, because so many of these things are just objectively good for society, but the barrier to get people to use them is too high. And so if we can now build out an engaged community that that is not focused on Web3, targeting Web3, but is really focused on Web2, and there's a lot of work that's going to need to go into this. We need improvements on the wallets. You know, it takes a village. Like, it literally takes a village to build out Lavana's vision, because we're not going to be able to do all of it, but we can help. We can help bring the people that are building the building blocks to this, you know, mega vision. We can bring them to, you know, we can help them grow. We can help them with the market research that we've done. We can help them in terms of structuring their businesses and growing and their infrastructure. We can help them with with the investors or, you know, seed investment that they need to get it grow off the ground, with grant programs from the from Terra and from other places. So the vision is we want to be the spearhead to the 100 million mark on Terra, but we know that we can't do it alone. We know that what the lowest hanging fruit is, which is probably the Solana ecosystem. There's definitely education that needs to be done in terms of how to get a Terra wallet, how to move your funds from Solana to Terra. And then the same goes for Ethereum, you know, the Ethereum ecosystem. And so we see this as really, right now we're just trying to build our family inside the house, which is get as many people excited about this vision, about the economics and like the core principles behind DeFi-tainment, to recognize the problem that's happening in DeFi today, which is a greater problem that crypto is having today. I mean, look at it. You know, you go look at some metrics over the last year. You know, obviously it's hard to pinpoint this, but a conservative number is that 200,000 new wallets, new people came to participate in DeFi, but yet 17 million people came to participate in blockchain entertainment, which is primarily led through the collection and trading of NFTs. Now, you could say that the audience of NFTs is not the audience of DeFi, that the people that are coming into DeFi are traders and earners and farmers, but most of the people are coming into NFTs to do the exact same thing, to participate in market speculation, to get in early into projects, to be on that whitelist, to participate in the minting, and the onboarding that NFTs enables is also the onboarding for DeFi, because you have to get your wallet, you have to learn your seed phrase, you have to learn about gas, you have to learn about bridges. The educational process is almost 100% overlap. Just the problem with most NFT projects is that they just stop at the minting, or they just stop at some type of community. So I think that the way that we're going to bring new people in to make this little pond of Terra that we're swimming in into a vast ocean, you know, of I don't know what to call that transition. But I think it's going to be number one is making sure that the narrative is very strongly felt within our own house of Terra here, and that we build out a very well-polished onboarding experience that's targeted, where we ask ourselves, okay, I've been trading on Solana and on Near and on Polkadot and on Harmony and on Polygon. You know, I've been doing all of these actions. What exactly is the funnel? What's my workflow and my user experience to go from my ecosystem to my first interaction with Terra DeFi and Terra NFTs, and then polishing that whole experience? And this is a process that's going to take months, but it's something that we think is critical, not just for the success of Lavana, but for the entire success of Terra. And then the next thing is to create that strong narrative so that it's interesting enough for somebody to care about it. When you see high quality artwork, when you see video footage, when you see a cool video game, that's the hook that can bring you over, especially knowing that there's an ability to profit from this. So if you've got entertainment and you've got profits and you've got beautiful artwork and you've got strong storytelling and you've got a smooth onboarding experience, that's when I think that the floodgates open. And we're not there yet, but the vision is pretty clear.
Yeah. I will now say we've been going on for a while, so we possibly need to pivot towards questions soon. I just wanted to add some of my own thoughts first. You know, we've started today's AMA set on nesting an egg and cracking some matters, but we have managed to travel through so many more subjects and push the storytelling boundaries of Twitter spaces. And I just wanted to touch upon the topic that you have, talked about earlier. Well, first I wanted to say, in the Vana team being 60 people, basically, that is incredible. And you know, I absolutely cannot wait to see what you guys will produce. For just for comparison, the Galactic Punks core team is 5 people with 6 community ambassadors. Incredible. And I fully agree with you. You spoke a lot about it. And I think we are just now unlocking the full potential of community building via NFTs. But us at the Galactic DAO, of course, we also see it the other way around, building through community. We are a decentralized collective working together to provide value to the entire Terra NFT space beyond just our own holders, like you guys are trying to do. You have just mentioned a lot of content is delivered to Levana by volunteers and excited participants. And at the DAO, it's nothing else. We provide the framework for people to engage, people who might otherwise not be full-time crypto, and their contributions would be lost or more difficult for them. And these people often look for more education as well. There is a big audience of NFT users who does not actively engage with DeFi, and even there, more engagement is necessary and pulls in so many users from other chains. You know, Solana and ETH NFT collectors come over to get early into Terra NFTs, but they stay for Anchor or for Prism and for other exciting protocols. And Levana will combine the two audiences, I think, in a very innovative way. So I think I speak for everybody here when I say we are all very excited. And I would now invite everybody who has a question to come forward and, request to speak.
Whilst we're waiting for some people to come and speak, I think just touching on bringing other people from different chains onto Terra, we do have a partnership with SMB, where we're mutually delegating to each other's validators. And running initiatives like these are great ways to bring attention to other chains, especially if we start with the NFT projects and then branch out from there. So it'd be interesting to see, obviously, when you guys are launching your mini games, as to the crowds that can be brought in from other chains who are, you know, into blockchain gaming and that sort of thing. Like, this is a whole new thing on Terra. So it'll be great to see exactly what communities we can bring across, because there are people always looking for new stuff and new ways to get involved with DeFi products as well as NFTs.
Absolutely. And I think that it's that the more projects that kind of have this, expansionary vision, that it's not a zero-sum game, that, we spoke to some projects, and this is what one of the things why I have so much respect for what you guys are building in the Galactic DAO and just the entire Galactic Punks project, is that you share so many of the same core values that the Levana team is really built upon. And I think that's why it's always been nothing but just positive experiences working with you. And I look forward to many years to come. The work that we do together between our communities, having tangible results. It makes me so happy when I, like what Beach spoke about, that we get DMs from people, or they post on the Discord saying, "Hey guys, I just I just came from Solana. I saw some of the dragons on Twitter, and I just had to come and check out what that was, and now I'm hooked." And then, you know, they show off which egg that they nested. And I've poked a couple times to see, because they're linking to their wallets. You can also see what else they have. And it's not shocking to see the large overlap of people that come in that end up getting a nested Lavana egg. And they also own not just one, but a couple punks as well.
And we can greet Colin Johnson right now, who has joined us as a speaker. Go, Colin.
Hello, everybody. Jack, Jonathan, Karma, I think you guys all know that these are like my two favorite NFT projects. But Jonathan, to your point that you made earlier about like onboarding, I agree that it's absolutely crucial. But one element of onboarding that you can't really control, the NFT collections or the games themselves, is the exchange, right? And it's kind of like a crucial part to the onboarding journey that go well and like the exchange be kind of understandable and a great all-around experience. How do you all think about the exchanges on the Terra ecosystem? Are there changes that they should be making to sort of encourage a smoother onboarding experience? And is there any other way to kind of smooth that out?
So we've thought a lot about that, and we've also just, you know, we're very sensitive to the community's feedback. So we've asked them, like, should we just have like a starter pack, you know, that you can just, you know, buy, kind of like how you can go to a comic book store and you can just buy a starter pack of Pokemon cards or, you know, other, I collected Dragon Ball Z cards growing up. You know, so it's very sensitive about that. You know, and obviously you want to maintain the scarcity of the assets. And so that creates a challenge. You know, that means that at least some of the game assets are going to be limited in supply, which means that the user will have to go to an exchange. I think that the exchanges are pretty much catered towards power users that are already within the Terra ecosystem today. I know that I've had from my in real life community a number of people that have, I've had to like handhold, like actually come over to their house and help them install the Terra Station wallet and then, you know, back up their seed and everything, you know, and then actually just like gift them Luna and UST because they don't have a KuCoin account. They don't have, you know, so there's just, it's definitely, we have a problem that we're only catering to power users today and people that are already onboarded into the Terra ecosystem. I think that projects Angel, projects like Zengo, which, you know, doesn't support DeFi, which, you know, NFTs are a part of DeFi because you need to be able to scan the wallet connect code, but they it's on their roadmap. So, you know, these types of projects, we don't have like a Magic or Fortmatic or Portis, which are some of the things that took years for Ethereum to develop. But I think that we're going to need to the stores are going to need to help handhold. And I don't know whether it's going to be the store's responsibility or a third party's responsibility, but the flow has to be, at least from my view. I saw something that caught my eye, like I'll use the term of dragon, but I mean that as just a general concept. Like I saw a dragon on TikTok. And I said, what is that? I have to find out more. And I click a link, I'm on mobile, and now I'm at some type of educational onboarding experience. And it asks me to connect, you know, with my Twitter account or my, you know, some type of OAuth, maybe it's my Gmail account, something that feels very Web 2. Maybe I can even pay with Apple Pay to make my first purchase. And I'm really onboarded in a very Web 2 style into a Web 3 experience that then allows me to very quickly just focus on the value drivers, the 0-to-1 that that can be the game changer to make people have the aha moment of where they see now, oh, I came for the lulls of entertainment, whether it's NFTs or blockchain gaming, and then I stayed for the life changing, you know, financial liberation that's already been created, and I think is relatively mature compared to other ecosystems that's found within the Terra DeFi or TeFi ecosystem. So that's how I kind of envision it. And again, I think that the stores have done a great job. There's probably some performance and search issues that could be fixed. You know, I find that things like usability studies and tracking where people are clicking on websites and like what's the mobile experience and what's the funnel rate of people dropping off, like this type of stuff that if you come from the world of like Web 2 of like building or e-commerce or app development, like you're familiar with all of these funnel optimizations. So I feel like we're still at a point where none of that has been done. And so it's just, we're at the grind now, which depending upon who's behind the who's behind the wheel is, it's going to either take, that grind's going to take, you know, 6 months, or it's going to take, you know, 6 years, but hopefully we're closer to the 6 months part than the 6 year part, but that's the grind. And it's no different than any industry. And look, I was building iPhone apps before the iPhone store existed. And we went through the same birth pains. You know, it was hard to adapt to a new paradigm of computer human interaction, and it takes time. But what's nice about being in Terra is that we can see what worked and what didn't work from the Ethereum ecosystem and even from the Bitcoin ecosystem before it. And so we can kind of like jumpstart that evolution to focus on what we've seen have success in the past and not have to kind of make those same mistakes that blockchain apps, you know, that came to market in 2018 very frequently made.
Awesome. Yeah, that totally makes sense. It just feels like that's the last piece of sort of like uncontrolled, you know, it's an uncontrolled atmosphere within the onboarding chain. So hopefully it does get a little bit more resolved soon. Like I sometimes almost wonder if, you know, there's some kind of an interface that an NFT collection can create that's not a marketplace. So it's sort of like a direct consumer to that individual collection rather than via a marketplace to some degree. But anyways, love that answer. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Marketplaces are probably not the best onboarding because they have a lot of noise. They are hard to navigate and they make lots of assumptions. You know, when someone arrives at a marketplace, the dungeon master assumes you walked into the bazaar because you knew what you needed, you knew the currency, you knew the language, and you knew which, you know, tent sold it. So like, I know many of you that's listened have never been in a bazaar in your life, but like I shop at a bazaar like almost on a weekly basis, and I've been to bazaars in countries all over the world. You know, I've been traveling throughout the Middle East like for the majority of my life, and it is overwhelming. You can look out instantly and you can see the people in a real life bazaar that this is their first time experiencing that. And I think the marketplace of NFTs gives newcomers or the uninitiated that same glossy look over their on their eyes and over their face.
Oh, I'm really sorry to jump in here, guys, but we are pushing time a little bit. So I think we're going to have to look at wrapping up now. So if everyone could just, you know, say their final piece and their, you know, and their goodbyes, and we'll end the spaces.
Great. Well, I think I'd said everything. I apologize that I talked so much and for so long. But I hope it was fun, and I hope it was I hope that some of the message that I conveyed resonated with the audience. And as always, if you want to learn more, you know, our DMs are open, Levana_protocol. We focus a lot on non-English language. So while I'm a native English speaker, we know most of the world isn't. So we've translated our lore. We've translated our primer, which is like the one, if there's one article that you wanted to read to understand what is the vision behind Levana, it's called The Great Levana Primer, P-R-I-M-E-R. So you can find that on our Medium. You can find links to that on the blog on our website. But it's like a 10-minute read, and it just goes through so much of what we talked about today, all in one article with like a nice frequently asked questions at the bottom. But if you have other questions, you know, the community is very warm. You can join the Discord. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Telegram. You can join the Telegram of your own native language. You can join the Discord channel of your own native language. And you can also read the blog posts in your own native language. And our DMs are always open. And we respond. Right now, we're getting literally hundreds of DMs every day. So it is it does take a team of volunteers to respond. So be, you know, be nice to them. Just know that the person that you're talking to is a volunteer to the project. You know, so they might not be able to get back to you immediately, but we're here to welcome anybody that is interested in the vision and the, if anybody that's interested in the world that we want to create.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to go and stake my council talisman right now, I think.
Oh, we've got a council. So that makes us our tribal enemies, but I guess we could still be friends. I just wanted to add that, you know, check out your wallet, see which talisman you got. If you don't resonate with that faction, you can always go to the secondary markets. It's called Levana Loot. So that's sometimes confusing to people. The talismans are found under Levana Loot. You can either keep your Galactic Punk talisman, or you can get a member talisman, or you can upgrade to a premier talisman, whatever, you know, suits you and is the most appropriate. And we hope to see you in the game. The faction war starts next Tuesday, so you don't have that much time. And rewards are obviously greater for everyone that's in the war the entire time. So if you're going to stake, then definitely do it before Tuesday. And thank you all so much. It was great to be here.
Well, brilliant. A thank you from me as well. And the Galactic DAO is working on a proposal to start our own NFT treasury. And we are right now in the NFT Nebula, which is our work group, discussing the exact outline and the list for the NFTs that we would like to purchase. So we will certainly be getting back to you guys on, you know, to just have a little guidance for the best way to actually nest our little Galactic DAO dragon egg. So let's look forward to that. Thank you to everybody who tuned in to listen to us today. And, you know, see you soon with the next AMA. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Levana Space hosted by Galactic Punks, recorded on Thursday, February 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CFI spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep it hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two. Help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen, listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up, everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up when the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew, rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview, we gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, write off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants, I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient, waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Den envision in the middlemen, listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian, lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Channel spaces.